Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to the Significant Business Results Radio Show. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the virtual studio all the way from Seattle is Maria Marsala of Elevating Your Business. Maria, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. How are you this evening?
Doing great. Thanks for asking.
Oh, terrific. Well, I'm glad, and I recognize, because of the time zone difference, that it's evening here in Philadelphia, and in Seattle, it's just approaching evening. It's early evening. Yeah. So welcome. I love the fact that technology doesn't stop us from connecting. And you've got a great story to tell. I will share with the audience that I have been on your email list in one form or another for many, many years, and so it's really very exciting to have an opportunity to hear you share live. So let's just jump right in, Maria. I often ask guests, what's the significant story behind them even starting on the path to entrepreneurship? So I'd love for some of the listeners to get that story from you.
Sure. I'm actually a third-generation business owner in both sides of my family. So I come from a long line of business owners. I really didn't think I was going to start a business as a kid, but I did. I was a babysitter and earned money when I was 10 years old. And then because I was so bad in math in school, supposedly, they put me on the cash register at my dad's store when I was also 10. They figured that if I learned that money and numbers had something to do with each other, maybe I would I would pick up. And I love that job so much. I mean, it's always wonderful working with your family. that I decided that, no, let me see, I got to find something to do. And so I started an Avon business when I was 14. And the only problem I had was that not all adults were taking me seriously. In fact, only two did, and I worked my tail off. And, you know, I quit that and said, you know, someday I got to try this again. You know, I kind of like it. And, you know, for me, my next stop actually was on Wall Street, where I started working right out of high school. And, you know, my age there really didn't matter, or I didn't think it really mattered. What mattered on Wall Street was what I was doing and how I could help the firm. So,
Okay.
So, started as a clerk, ended up a trader, and, you know, through bad and good markets, I always got paid really well because I always found ways for the company to save money. If I wasn't making it, I figured out ways for it to save money. So I always got paid really well. And I like that.
Wow.
And that's what I like about business. I like that my pay is based on my performance. And how I help my clients.
Oh, so true, so true. And from starting with babysitting to the cash register, and the third business at 14, what did you say it was?
Avon.
Avon. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that was a perfect time for makeup.
Right. So, given that in many of your experiences you were really customer facing, do you feel that you know, to what degree did your personality, certainly the value system, as you just stated, saving, helping organizations or individuals save money, make money. But even with babysitting and certainly Avon, that's a, you know, you have to go out and find that customer. What skills were transferable once you left Wall Street and started your series of businesses?
I would say definitely the math. All the math I had to learn when I was on Wall Street, all the math I learned even as a cashier, definitely came into play in my own business, keeping budgets, watching the money, watching how much I was spending and how much I was making after I spent that money. And, you know, if I came up with a new thing, new way of marketing, if it didn't make money, then, you know, I tried tweaking it or got rid of it and found something that did make money. I think also, so definitely my, you know, all the stuff I learned about numbers in general that were important to business growth. Because even though I worked on Wall Street, you know, when you're a trader or, you know, you have any career, you know, you own your career. You know, it's up to you to decide where you're going to go and what you're going to do or if you're going to stay where you are. And so even making those kind of decisions, which I did, I mean, I sometimes was asked to move into departments where I was going to make a lot more money and said no, because it wasn't something I wanted to do. I even took a backwards, you know, I went backwards. I went from being a clerk to a trader to an executive outside of the trading desk because that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, in business, you need to be able to make those hard decisions, you know, that, you know, you need to be able to say to yourself, well, I'm not going to make as much money as I made last year doing this, but I'm going to have a lot more fun. And so it's important to have fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. Value lifestyle and choices. Well, you know, as you progressed, one of the things that not all entrepreneurs understand the value of numbers in that. In fact, a lot of entrepreneurs are afraid of finances and shy away from that. When you think about what you've done with your own businesses after Wall Street, what has been the evolution and where is your business now? I realize it's sort of multiple questions, but you've covered a lot of ground post-Wall Street.
After Wall Street, I actually got into a car accident that made me kind of think about my life a little differently and, you know, made me kind of say, okay, you know, what is it you really want to do? And that's when I started, I got involved in, you know, in my coaching business. One of the things I can tell you is that I made a lot of the same mistakes a lot of business owners make when I started my third, I guess, business, which is the business I'm in now. It was kind of like I wanted to take Wall Street and all the work I did and kind of put it in the past and not think about it anymore. And, of course, it came back to, you know, came back to bite me quite well. And I had to go back, you know, I had to go back to basics. I hired two different coaches at that time, and I went back to, okay, you know, let's create a niche. Let's create an ideal client profile. What other documents do I need in order to, you know, run my business as a business and as something that I could hopefully sell one day? And so, you know, numbers again came into play. You know, I looked at all the networking I had done, and I had been keeping busy, and I said, okay, we have to cut about more than half of this out because busy is, you know, I would have gotten fired if I was my boss. You know, when I worked on Wall Street, I had an expense account. You know, I had to justify it.
Right,
you know,
right.
And all of a sudden, I have my own business, and I'm not justifying it. And so I started justifying the numbers, and I started, you know, knocking this group out and that group out. And there was one group I stayed with, even though I wasn't making any money for it, because as a home business owner, I need to get out of the house. And mm-hmm. I liked the people who were in it, so I stayed in that group. But I knew, I stayed in that group for a couple of years. I knew that, you know, there was no money to be made in that group. That was a go out for breakfast once a week with people and kind of schmooze, you know, kind of group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So again, numbers came into play.
So given that numbers came into play and that you're now on your third business, tell us more about elevating your business, why you chose that name, what you do, and why this is the business that you're focusing on now.
Okay. Well, the original name was Coach Maria, which is a website I
mm-hmm.
still own. But, you know, like most business owners, the first name is quite often has to do with you and is an emotional name versus one that actually makes sense to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned back then, because I've been coaching since 98,
mm-hmm.
and you had explained a lot what coaching was back then, that name was not the best of names. So 2 years after I started my business, I changed the name of the company to Elevating Your Business. And the reason I picked Elevating Your Business was because I didn't want to call it Growing Your Business. Really, that's the
mm-hmm.
only reason.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it to be different, you know, and at the time
mm-hmm.
it was. Now you see quite a few things about elevating. But I wanted it to really talk to the fact that wherever a business owner is, and in my case, I work with financial professionals, but wherever they are, you know, the goal is to elevate their business a couple of notches up within a year or two. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to help them to double their revenues or time off, and sometimes it's a little bit of each in the 2 years that we usually
mm-hmm.
work together.
Mm-hmm.
So I do what I call consultative coaching. You know, I
mm-hmm.
have a background doing consulting from all my work on Wall Street and having my second business on Wall Street where I was a business consultant. And then I attended Coach U and
mm-hmm.
became a life coach because in the 80s and 90s, that's all the training was. There was no business coach training and, or, you know, career coach training, et cetera, et cetera. It was all
mm-hmm.
under, you know, coaching started as life coaching, formally.
Right.
It started as life coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm both a life coach and a business consultant. So I kind of put those two together. And my clients say it makes a difference, not just in their numbers, and the time they have off, but they tell me most of them have had another coach at one point in their career, and they tell me they love it that, you know, when I give them homework, it's not to go do research to create some kind of a form. Most likely I have the form already created for them, or I will create it for them,
mm-hmm.
because the consultant piece of me, you know, wants to do that kind of thing. So I don't even know how many templates I have. We are trying to put them all together, but there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of them are about money, including budgets.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier focusing on a niche. You focus on financial services because that's where your expertise is. Do you ever get asked by people to coach someone who's in the hot tub business or a restaurant or another service business? And if so, what do you say?
Yeah, I actually have worked over the course of the years, and I've been in business since 1998, so that's quite a few years. The first 10 years in business, I coached women who were in service businesses. So I did work with a lot of women and 40 different industries, 40 different service industries. So it was because of that I decided to that working with women, since so many more women were in business 10 years after I started and when I began, that women was way too big of an area to be in, that I needed to even get, you know, more focus. And, you know, I did some healing, you know, about working on Wall Street, and took the best of the best and started to work with financial professionals. But I've got a client now who is a virtual assistant. I've had clients who are in marketing, some of whom market to financial professionals, but not all of them. But if somebody fits all the rest of my criteria for who my ideal clients are, and the only difference is they're in a different industry, then it becomes up to me to decide if I want the challenge or not.
Which sort of segues into the next question that I often ask, because it's helpful to understand the person. Where were their entrepreneurial tendencies? How did they express themselves? What were some of the other journeys that they had along the way? And then what are they doing now? But it's also really helpful to understand who is the type of client that you work with that really they end up saying, gosh, I am so glad I worked with you. And why? What is it about you and their results or their experience that makes them truly appreciate what you have to offer?
Well, I would have to say my ideal clients are go-getters. You know, they just see themselves doing more of what they've been doing, maybe a different way of doing it in their company. So they may be financial advisors. Let's just take one type. They may be financial advisors who own an independent business. And they're starting to get to the point where maybe they just want to work with three or four clients, but they want to hire more people in their firm to take the clients they have, to make their firm bigger. So all my clients want to create a bigger, better firm. They're not happy with the status quo of it just being them. A lot of them want to create virtual businesses. Some of them are in physical businesses. They want to create the rest of their physical business and have a virtual firm, so get the best of both worlds. And because I've been involved in virtualness of business for so long, I'm able to really help them put that together in a way that's going to, you know, help them make money. So I know that's definitely one of the big things that for me is really important, is that they want a bigger company. But the other thing is they've got to be in a position where part of their values is giving back to their community. So the stockbroker or the advisor who just talks to me about want to make more money, I'll delve deep and figure out if there's any other substance to that particular person. And if I feel the only thing they're looking to do is to make money, I won't take them on as a client. You know, I left Wall Street a little while to go work in nonprofit, and went back to Wall Street realizing the importance of the work that I was doing. I thought that helping people make more money or helping big firms make more money was not my, you know, just wasn't enough. You know, why was I given these gifts? There must be some other reason. And and so I went to nonprofit. I worked in nonprofit. I helped the nonprofits, you know, with their all their numbers and budgets and stuff and procedures and everything else, basically to become more organized and efficient. And then realized, you know, I don't like not being in a performance-based type of a business, you know, because a nonprofit, you don't know, you know, 6 months to 3 months if you're even going to have a job, which is, like, mind-blowing to me. I give a lot of credit to people who can do that. But I realized that, you know, the extra $300 I could throw a nonprofit because I was making good money really went far. I mean, they worked hard to make that money go far. So one of the big attributes of all my clients is they have, I ask them up front, what are you volunteering in? You know, what groups are you involved in? You know, how are you giving back? Because what I learned from the going into nonprofit and then going back to Wall Street was the more money I can help somebody make, the right person, the more money they give back. So if I can help financial advisors make more money, then I know they're going to be giving that money back. If I help them make more money, that means they're helping a lot more people make more money. And so it's kind of like a ripple effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really, really powerful. Really, really powerful. And we're, I think, collectively in the entrepreneurial space hearing that formalized in things like social entrepreneurship, and particularly with the younger people. But so that definitely it's more than a trend, people bringing their values to the art and science of entrepreneurship.
If you have listeners who may not be in that situation themselves, where they can give back, you know, big time, then what you can do is be the best boss you can be, because so many of us have had crappy bosses that if you can give back to another human being a good paycheck, hours that work for them and you, and a good boss, that is a big gift you're giving another person.
Right. An opportunity to work in a job that they enjoy, the flexibility, the wage, and to be part of the community. Well, Maria, that almost leads me to a question that I often ask every guest, and that is, what are some quotes that motivate you as a leader? Because it speaks to your value system, which you've touched on a little bit already.
Well, I'm very much noted for a lot of my quotes, so I'm going to give you two. One of them is, excuses are soul killers. And the other one is, shift or get off the pot.
Start with shift. It's important to hear the F in there. Shift or get off the pot. Start with that one. Why is that significant to you?
You know, because you're not going to grow if you don't make shifts in life. There could be small shifts. It could be big shifts. It could be, you know, whatever size shifts. But, you know, I say to the financial advisors, and this goes along with pretty much anybody in a service business, who calls themselves a practitioner, stop practicing. Grow your business. You are not a practitioner. You are a business owner. Treat it as a real business. Read books about business owners, about people growing firms to whatever size firm you're looking for. Could be, you know, 3 people, 5 people, 20 people, you know, 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched all size firms grow. You know, I was on Wall Street mm-hmm. when, you know, firms like Bear Stearns that I worked for was 100 people. You know, when they met their demand, they were 10,000. So figure out what size business you want to be, and don't be afraid to read books and grow from other industries and bring those thoughts and ideas into what you're doing. And that takes a shift. Same like if you're mm-hmm. the boss and you decide you don't like being the boss
mm-hmm.
and you want to go back to being a CPA or a financial advisor or whatever, hire a boss. You know, I call it, that's mm-hmm. the Bill Gates effect. No problem mm-hmm. with that. You know, so what if some people look at that as like a backwards move? You've got to be happy wherever you're at.
Right.
Be happy.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Life is short, as mm-hmm. we go through. Maria, I know that several people are really interested in finding out how to get in touch with you. Would you share the best way that they can find you on the web, follow you on social media, get in touch with you, if in fact they're fitting your ideal client profile?
Sure. Elevating Your Business is my website. It's elevatingyourbusiness.com. And there is every way to contact me through the contact button, from scheduling a free consultation to finding me on Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook or wherever you want to find me that is business appropriate.
Excellent. Well, Maria, we had a chance before the sort of microphone went public to talk a little bit about your summer travels and the fact that because you've been in business for an extensive period of time and have built up friends and clients, that you often take some time out to travel the country and meet up with folks. And I just think it's really great that you're able to practice what you preach, practice mm-hmm. what you share with others, have a business that you enjoy, focus on performance, and also focus on that life balance so that not only the business grows and is elevated, but the person, the business owner, enjoys being the business owner and can, in fact, give back. So it's really mm-hmm. been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks again for taking some time out of your schedule. I imagine that you're not sleepless in Seattle. I just had to fit that in. I'm sorry. Thanks again for traveling. Sleepless in Seattle, reference in the movie.
No, yeah. No, I'm not ever sleepless. No, that's not me.
right. Well, again, I will remind folks that they can find you on the web, Maria Marsala, Marsala, like the wine, at elevatingyourbusiness.com. So, Maria, have a great evening and a great rest of the year. Thanks again for being part of our show.
Oh, Fran, thanks very much for having me here. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And folks, continue to follow us on blogtalkradio.com/significant business results.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, president of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significant business results.